It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
My good friend Brian Kilmeade is joining me on the podcast today, not only because he loves to work and do extra appearances on shows outside of Fox and Friends and the Brian Kilmeade Show on the radio and One Nation on the weekend. Holy moly. But Brian, in his spare time, likes to write books about important leaders in history. His latest is called Teddy and Booker T, How Two American Icons Blazed a Path for Racial Equality. He's been taking his book tour on the road, traveling to different cities across the country, and you can find out if he's visiting a city near you by visiting briankilmeade.com. But before you do that, I hope you will listen to our conversation with one of my favorite people in the whole wide world and the hardest worker in the Fox News building. Here is Brian Kilmeade on the Janice Dean Podcast. Brian Kilmeade, you made the Dean's List.
I'm honored.
Yeah.
I feel like but I listen to the Dean's List every day
on
radio.
I'm so happy about that.
Right.
And
you do a great
job. It's my favorite thing. I appreciate that. The reason I have a podcast is because of you.
Because I said, why isn't that on a show?
Yeah.
Why isn't that? And then you said, it could be a podcast. You
right.
Well, I don't know if it's worth it. And now you're doing it. Is it every week?
I do it twice a week.
Okay.
And I think we almost have 1 million downloads.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And now that you're here, there will be over 1 million downloads.
Or you'll lose some subscribers.
No.
I sometimes can do that.
Oh, stop.
I can be somewhat polarizing.
You're here because you're my friend. You made the Dean's List, but you also have an incredible new book out. Teddy and Booker T, How Two American Icons Blazed a Path for Racial Equality. This is an important book. Why?
Well, I'm trying to move up through time. Started with George Washington, then with Thomas Jefferson, the Tripoli Pirates, got through the War of 1812 with Andrew Jackson, then Sam Houston because we acquired Texas, double the size of our country, what we went through to do it, and Jackson mentored Sam Houston. And then I thought, okay, I got to handle the Civil War, but it's the most written about war ever. How could I bring something new to it? And I got to bring characters. How could I bring something new to Lincoln? Frederick Douglass's book by David Blight was number one on the bestseller list. What have I just talked about how they interacted with each other and made our country better at the most critical time?
Mm-hmm.
And how unlikely their success was, this guy beyond impoverished and the other one beyond challenged as a slave who was a fugitive and became a worldwide personality and activist. And then before I read Frederick Douglass, I read Booker T. Washington because it said Up from Slavery, his autobiography. And then you read it, you can't put it down. You go, could this have happened? I mean, to have a 9-year-old remember being called to the house where he was enslaved and have a Union soldier read something, which he later would find out was the Emancipation Proclamation, and have his mother break into tears and say, I grab her and her brother and goes, we are free. And they go back to the cabin and they say, now what do we do? Literally, what do you do?
What do you do?
They sleep on the floor already. Mm. They have the same meal every day of their lives. She had to sneak in to the farm, to the chicken coop to get additional eggs to feed these guys. They remember it. They never felt that they were denied anything.
Yes.
Just goes to show you when you look at Ukrainian kids and what they're going through. So they just said, okay, I remember my future stepfather, because he never knew his father, going on a wagon and heading to West Virginia because they heard they were hiring with salt mines.
Mm-hmm.
And he's claustrophobic, and he wants to go to school. All he wants to do is go to school. And all they could say is, you can't go to school. We have to earn money. We have no money.
Mm-hmm.
So they start building up their lives, and he remembers he sees these marks on their equipment, their sacks of salt. So what is that? And he realized, they told him, it's 18. The first thing he ever learned was 1 and 8. He's like, I got to learn to count. I got to learn letters. And when you talk about power of positive thinking, I don't know if you believe this. Tell me if you don't.
What?
But sometimes if you really want something to happen, you think about it.
I believe that. Yep.
So I'm watching this happen, and he's writing this in 1890, 1900. And all he wants to do is learn. All he wants to do is learn. And he overhears two kids talking, saying, I'm not going back there. No way am I going. She's a witch. She's a horrible person. And who is it? It's this woman, Viola Ruffner. What did she want? Things done right. So these kids quit. He goes, well, what did you quit? He goes, oh, there's never enough hours in the day. She works us to the bone. I'm going to get another job. I'm telling my parents. So he said, can I go and see if she wants people? So she shows up. Turns out she's strict, but she just wants things done right. How do you do things right? She sees something in this little Booker T. Washington kid, and she starts asking him to do stuff. There's nothing that she asks him to do that she doesn't do right. Then she starts saying, this is the way you hold your vows. This is the way you speak. This is the way you stand. This is the way you brush your teeth. This is the way you wear certain things. He goes, why don't you just live here? And he goes, well, what do you want? I like to learn to read. And convinces his mom if he can go back to school, if he works here, and then she starts enhancing his education to the point where he's 16 and he says, I got to go to college. I got to go to college. And he hears these two men saying, man, I wish I was younger, because I hear if you can get to Hampton College, they'll let you in for free.
Wow.
That's all he needs. He's envisioning it. Has it happen? He heads that direction, 400 miles, shows up after four tries, finally convinces them to give them a chance. Why? They ask him to clean a classroom. Who taught him how to clean? Viola Ruffner. Who taught him how to clean better than anybody else? Her. And he goes, who helped you with this? Let me see you clean another classroom. She goes, okay, I'm convinced. You probably got something. You go to school at night, you're a janitor during the day. Well, we'd call it a janitor.
Yes.
You clean the room during the day. He ends up being the best student they had. They ask him to stick around, be a teacher. And when they roll out a brand new college on a deal to get the black vote in Alabama, they said, yeah, in 30 days you have to get in. He goes, well, who do you recommend? General Armstrong, you're the best in the business, white guy, who's running a historically black college, Hampton. He said, I got Booker T. Washington. He goes, no, I want a white guy. He goes, well, it's the only guy I'm recommending.
Wow.
So he shows up and it's a one-room shed with a leaky roof. He's got 1 week to get students. He gets 35. It ends up being 1,500 people. They end up learning a skill, Mike Rowe style. You can go to school, but you got to learn a trade.
Yep.
And that's why I told Mike Rowe this 3 years ago, and he remembers. I go, look at these quotes. They said, at this point in America, in the South, white people don't want to hire you. You have to be invaluable, work for yourself. So you're going to farm, you're going to be construction, you're going to be a blacksmith, whatever it is.
Yep.
And you're going to learn the school. You're going to learn how to stand. You're going to learn how to present yourself. You're going to learn to look people in the eye. He was changing a population of people, not to be famous,
yes,
because he believed in the country and he had this mission. Then he went north and started impressing Andrew Carnegie, J.P. Morgan, the Rosenwald, who started Sears, who would combine on schools for him, which we would call charter schools today, it sounds like to me, by the way they're described. And then to see Teddy Roosevelt pop up in all of his writings. He wrote The Larger Education. Teddy Roosevelt again. I go, wait a second. He's in my backyard. I know Tweed Roosevelt, the great-grandson.
Yeah.
You know him because you spoke at the Roosevelt School.
With you.
And then did he tell you that as a kid, he played at Sagamore Hill with his great-grandmother's
house?
Yes. It was Teddy's wife.
Yes. And we went on a tour of that, and he took us on a tour. Tweed Roosevelt.
Yeah.
And
it's a link to history.
It is unbelievable. And he talked about the relationship that Teddy had with Booker T. And it was like no other. And to invite him to the White House, that's had never happened before.
And it was a mess.
Yeah.
Because America wasn't ready for it. And the headlines will make you
skin
crawl.
But he didn't care.
Yeah.
Roosevelt didn't care.
Well, he pushed back, but he realized, I got to be smarter about this if I want the black vote, number one, and if I don't want to hurt Booker T, because people can get angry, burn down Tuskegee.
Yeah.
And what he did is, when he gets the invite from the president, he comes over. Why? They're friends.
Yes.
And he's helping them. He said, you would love this. And I'll paraphrase it. I'm going to ask you for judges. I'm going to ask you for postmaster generals. I'm going to ask you for a lot of recommendations. Don't give me somebody because of the color of their skin. Oh. Just give me the best person.
Yes.
This is, you're talking about, 1901, 1905. This is unbelievable. And that's what I wanted to show people. Before Kaepernick takes the knee and you say how bad it is after the George Floyd riots, get a perspective on how far we've come.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make the last strides? Absolutely. And compare it to the rest of the world and show that they saw the potential in America and they made it better rather than taking a knee and condemning it for what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I thought if I present this, prove we're not ducking slavery, we're not ducking the horrors of it, Jim Crow, poll taxes. But if I tell you the story and then tell you what they did to overcome it and some inspiring people along the way, these horrible white people that helped out Booker T. Washington, who were the richest men in the world and wanted to help other people,
mm-hmm.
I thought that it would give America, the people that decide to buy or to watch the special on Fox Nation, a perspective on what this country is and how far we've come.
Mm-hmm. What do you think Teddy Roosevelt would say about what's going on right now?
Number one, we were not the superpower we are today. He was all about projecting strength and growing a Navy and growing an Army and being formidable. And we weren't. But we were emerging. He'd go, wait a second. We are the strongest kid on the block with the most robust economy who seems to be self-hating and loathing and unappreciative of what we have. And he'd be showing a lot more muscle in the Middle East, I'll tell you that. And he would have, there was no Israel back then, but the Balfour Declaration was 1922. So when they was started moving towards getting a homeland back in for the Jewish community into what we now know as Israel. But he'd be showing a lot more strength. He'd be demanding a lot more pride, and he'd make sure history was in the curriculum. I mean, he was a historian. The guy wrote the history of the War of 1812 in college.
And I think that is the biggest problem that we have with youth today. They don't know the history behind this very complicated war that's unfolding, that's happening before our eyes.
But they think they do.
Is their history, right?
I don't think there's a doubt about it.
Yeah. And that's what scares me the most right now. Is that you have all of these kids who are getting their information, most of their important information that they're making decisions on, from social media
and campus causes.
Right. And that's also very, I mean, I can't even watch the news sometimes, Brian, seeing what's happening on all of our college campuses. It can't be 2023. It's shocking.
It's stunning, and Andy McCarthy really alerted me to it and said, I wrote a book in 2011, I said exactly this, and I called Senator Schumer and said, yes, I'm a prosecutor, you never heard of me, I'm a columnist, but there is a movement on campus to undermine Israel and Jews on campus, and it started in the 60s, and it's 2011 now, I'm writing this book, it is worse than you thought, and he couldn't really get a response, and now look, like, where is Schumer now? Why doesn't he use his power as an American, the most powerful American Jewish in New York, this huge city? Why are you not using some of that power now to educate people and demand that lunatics like Omar and Tlaib and the whole squad? What about AOC?
Yeah.
I mean, she's marginally better.
It's frightening. I've actually had Democrats. I have some friends that are Democrats, and they have said to me they've watched more Fox News.
Everyone's saying this.
That's all they can watch because we're the only channel that's sympathetic towards them and bringing their stories.
Right. Like, I watch Caitlin Collins, who I know. I haven't talked to in a long time, but when she was at the Daily Caller, she asked the former spokesperson for the government, Regev, six times, how many civilians were killed in that refugee bombing?
Yes.
And he said, I don't know. I wouldn't know that. We're not on the ground there, but we do know that we've gotten these terrorists, and that's where they are. We told everyone to move south. They have massacred us. And how many? Six times. Kept saying it. How many? I said, see, another thing is he brought up a great point. He said, I'm watching your video now of the explosion. These are all military-age men. Hamas does not wear uniforms. So if you're 24 years old, you're walking around, really, Hamas is going to not make you put that headband on and grab a gun after you've been indoctrinated your whole life that Jews are the problem and Israel has to be expunged? So I don't think it's as important. This blood is all on Hamas's hands. All of it. Yeah. And they choose, was one of the questions to the political side of Hamas, one of these representatives was, why do you build tunnels and not bomb shelters for the people? Because these bombs are happening. He goes, because we build the bomb shelters for Hamas. We build the tunnels for the Hamas to fight. We don't build bomb shelters for the people. Wow. Like, why would you even ask that?
Wow.
Well, it would show you cared about the people.
Yeah, which they don't.
Yeah.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
How do you go on television and deliver terrible news like this every day? I feel like, does it wear on you?
I don't know. I mean, I thought the hardest thing out of everything was the pandemic was ridiculous because we kept broadcasting for the most ridiculous, dealing with delays and coming back and not seeing an end to this and not trusting the people that were involved in it.
Yeah.
To me, that was the most frustrating.
Yeah.
But this, okay, this reminds me, see, I know Hamas wasn't going away and Hezbollah wasn't going away. So Iran's not going away. So every day that they were allowed to get stronger and bigger, there was always the potential of this happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't that much of a surprise. But the fact that it happened the way it did in the horrible way what October 7th was is terrible. But they are addressing a problem that they thought they could navigate, but now they got to confront.
Yes.
I think on some level they want Hezbollah to fully engage because they're going to get destroyed. It's hard to go at a country that just rockets you. So they went in halfway in 2006, did some damage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to. I want Hezbollah to put down their guns and become part of the government. But if they're allowed to survive and Hamas gets destroyed, you're only putting off the next October 7th because Iran's going to just finance them. Islamic Jihad, Hamas will come out of the ashes. They'll have a definitely be more savvy about it. But I almost wish that can everybody in this room that dislikes them come forward? Because I like to kick your ass all at once because I don't want to do it every 10 years.
Yeah.
And they can.
Yeah. How do you think the leadership with Netanyahu is going right now?
Yeah, they say he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And there's most everybody agrees he's in a lot of trouble. And he was almost catatonic the first few days. He was invisible. So they did a coalition government. This is a guy that the first time I saw him was in the Persian Gulf War in 93 as a spokesperson to relay to America what was happening. This guy thrives in these situations, except he was prime minister on the worst attack in history, and he wasn't able to stop it for hours. You know those little cards they found on the Hamas fighters?
Yes.
It said that they thought they had 15 minutes before the Israelis were fully mobilized. This went on for hours. They never responded. They got onto military bases. They infiltrated and hatcheted people up. They got 9 times as many hostages as they ever dreamed. So now it's a problem. They got to keep them and they got to do their thing. But the only reason they didn't get hit right away is because of these hostages.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a well-planned out.
Yes, very well-planned.
So I think he's going to have trouble surviving. But do you get rid of a prime minister now? We don't do that parliamentary thing. You know,
we don't.
Yeah.
How in much involvement is the U.S. going to have with this?
Well, I mean, they're hitting us every day in Syria and Iraq. I got an email. I got a long, what do they call it, snail mail just in
yes.
my mailbox?
Yeah.
So I've gotten about 5 emails because I mentioned this on air. Can you imagine being sitting on those bases and 2,500 people in Iraq getting rocketed and being told you can't go get the guys?
Yeah. You
know exactly who did it? And then you're stuck in Syria, 900 people. Everybody wants to kill you. Can't go get the guys. And I got emails from people saying, my kid is over there. And they sit there. The rocketing is so much worse than they thought. And guess what? One other person wrote me and said, I have kids. My son is in Kuwait. And they've been hit. Wait a second. Kuwait? No one told us about that. Can you imagine what they're holding back from us?
Wow.
So we're not even allowed to go out. And the only thing they understand, and you know, we just saw Mike Pompeo on and Rubio understands it. You don't want a bigger war, but if you don't want a bigger war, show them what that would look like.
Yes.
You wipe out all these militias. You kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
They're dead enders anyway.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, I know exactly who trained them.
Yeah.
Iran.
It's hard to sit there and watch it unfold. It almost seems like it's not real.
I know.
And I don't know where we go from here. But the problem is, going back to your book, we have to know the history behind these things because it always does repeat
right.
itself. And if we don't teach the lessons that you're trying to put out there, then the kids are not going to get it ever. They're just not. And if we don't have the institutions to make sure that
That's
they
key.
Read this and learn and be tested on it, then we might as well give up.
So how unbelievable is it that you'll be talking about Harvard, Yale, Columbia, NYU, institutions that cost $80,000 to $90,000 a year to go to that are almost impossible to get into unless mm-hmm. you're a legacy or you pretend to be a rower.
Or you learn the bagpipes.
Yeah. Do you want to write it down? No one will have a check. Do you ever really know if someone is on the bagpipes and can't play it? You can't really tell.
Listen, we've already told our son that he should probably learn the bagpipes because he would have a choice in schools. But now we don't care if he plays the bagpipes.
Right. It's like chaos. Right. They just put a bunch of horns in a sack and they said blow.
But it's pretty awesome when you've got some good ones.
Oh, I like the sound. But my problem is with classical music and bagpipes, my dad would put it on. The War of 1812 Overture on 8-track and make me listen. And I was like, what did I do?
That was your punishment?
I guess. He thought it was my education. And then we had a bagpipe album.
What?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
What was the title?
Don't know. It was on a turntable.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then finally we realized this is not dinner music.
Was your dad drinking scotch?
Listen, we're Irish. Right? He owned a bar.
That's
so,
right.
I mean,
of course.
You think you're taking a shot at me? Actually, it's a documentary. But
from the bagpipes to the schooling, listen, I've told my husband maybe our kids need to learn a trade. Maybe.
Oh, they should always anyway. This is pretty clear.
But, I mean, are we going down that road where we're not going to make our kids go to these universities because we're too afraid of the indoctrination?
Well, I think so. I think I'm trying to look at the bright side. What happened with the schooling? We started looking over our kids' shoulders. You got Governor Youngkin because he says, I'm going to empower parents to push back on their school and curriculum.
Yes.
And now the parents are saying, show me your homework.
Yes.
Show me your homework. What do you think? Excuse me, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So now I'm pulling your kid out. We're going to go to a private school.
Yes.
Now you have about five or six, maybe more states who now give you, the dean family gets the $8,000 that your son would normally get.
Well, we don't do that in New York.
I know, but in theory, that whole give the kid the money, let him decide which school is so good on so many
Brilliant.
Levels.
Brilliant.
Because now the public school says, I'm losing so many students, we got to change.
Yeah.
I got to fire so many teachers, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to change. Or we're losing all our people here, so that the free market.
Yeah. We put our kids in Catholic school during the pandemic because they did not close during the pandemic. And it was one of the smartest things we ever did. And part of the problem with the Catholic schools is they're not given those opportunities of the government paying, right? Which is something that they're doing in Virginia. They're saying, okay, you decide, parent, where your kids want to go, and we'll give you the money to follow the child. And I think that kind of thinking wins elections.
It did, and we're going to see if Virginia responds. By the time some people download this, we'll have an answer because the election's coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we'll see because Glenn Youngkin dug in. I've never seen a governor dig into an election like this.
Mm-hmm.
He's a one-termer, but he wants to see if he could flip Virginia. He already flipped Virginia as a governor. Can he flip it in the legislature? And then can you still call Virginia blue? And can Trump or Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis or Tim Scott, can they flip it?
If he does he run for president?
I don't think so. I don't see it. I mean, for me, if I'm Glenn Youngkin's chief of staff,
stay
there. I know. I mean, if DeSantis can't go in and compete with Trump, and Nikki Haley and DeSantis is still 35 points off,
mm-hmm.
why would you mess with your perfect record? Why not just wait? And then you could start, you're term limited out. You'll be at the midterm 2 more years. Everyone's going to be mobilized. You're like, listen, I'm just about done here. Now I got the time and the record to run.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump's gone. Either way, he's gone. There's no way Trump's running again.
Right.
So
you don't know.
If I'm Youngkin, it makes no sense. And the only reason why I don't know who gets the nomination, I don't know how the public's going to respond to these court cases. I don't know what they are. I don't think they're going to have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But our independence. And if he's trailing by Joe Biden by 8, I mean, that's the biggest catastrophe. Or I'm not saying a Democrat can't lead the country. I'm saying this group can no longer be in charge of anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he's fully supported Israel, Biden. And I think actually,
Janice, look what's happening. He's sending his Secretary of State there to push for a pause. Yesterday, when he got a protester at a private fundraiser, they asked him, please have a ceasefire.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, I'm Jewish, I'm a rabbi, and I want a ceasefire. And he says, yes, I'm going to push for a pause. Excuse me, you're going to push for a pause? You're not a military guy. You hate the military. And you can't tell them to push for a pause. You're going to let them get out. You have Marco Rubio, these experts say that one of the worst things, Tim Kennedy, one of the worst things you could do right now.
Right. And he's getting his marching orders from the White House.
And he's with Joe Biden saw that he's losing the Arab Muslim vote.
Wow.
And that's why he's changing. So I like what he initially said.
Yep.
But if those guys blow you off,
wow,
Abdullah and Sisi and Ahmad Boud Abbas, you don't go on that trip.
Oh.
I would say, or you call them up and say, hey, you like your billions of dollars of aid?
Mm-hmm.
You know what political risk I did doing this?
Yep.
I'm going over there. How dare you embarrass me?
Mm-hmm.
Which they did.
Don't go anywhere. We'll have more of the Janice Dean podcast right after this. Okay, so ranking all the books that you've done, which is your favorite? I know it's like picking a child. Do you ever pick a favorite child?
No. I feel like it's a balancing act.
Do you pick a favorite dog?
No. Because I got a deaf dog, I got a dog with bad legs,
aww,
and I got this great... This new dog we got.
Oh, the new one. Okay.
The new one walks up to me, puts his hand, just wants to play.
What?
I mean, this dog is over a year old. We'll sit there and we'll knock you in your back and play tag. And just wants to chase you and do stuff. He thinks we're dogs.
Of course.
He's like, now that you're home, now we can play.
I love that.
Like, I like Dawn's like, you better stop him from doing that. I go, well, he's got a lot of spirit. I mean, why stop?
What about the other dogs? How do they keep up with the new dog?
Well, they no longer resent it, but my deaf dog, he's very sensitive.
Why do you communicate with him? You do like a sign language thing?
He gets it. Now, all I have to do is, I mean, this is come, this is stay. That's all you need.
So you are doing sign language.
You just look at him.
Okay.
By the way, genius. The guy, he opens up a slider with his mouth. The sliding glass door with his mouth. Heavy glass door.
Do you have that on video?
Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever taped it because we're so used to it.
You need to tape that and put it on social media.
Yeah, really genius. He was used to it on a screen door.
Yeah.
On a screen door, put his head. He was the first one ever. The first one to put his head. They're huge. The Great Pyrenees. Puts his head and hits down and pushes forward.
Wow. So he could get out at any time.
Yeah. But he knows he's got a good deal. He knows... He knows the grass is not greener.
Why did you pick this breed of dog?
We did not want a Bernese Mountain Dog. And so the girls went to town to research what was like it because after we lost our Bernese Mountain Dog, Duke, they wanted to quickly get another dog, but they didn't want to get the same one.
Okay.
So they came up with Great Pyrenees. And I said, if you could find one, and we found one.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, we ordered it. And then I'm like, it's too far in Virginia. So they shipped them to us. I had to go to LaGuardia to, do you ever do that?
To pick up a dog? Lola actually came on a plane from Iowa with our breeder.
Yeah, yeah, I felt bad, but I'm like, no, not really. I'm not driving all the way to Virginia. So the dog came and they were two puppies. I got a call, then I think I told you this. We have Rocky, we're all set.
Yeah.
And they called up and they said, he's got a brother. They're unbelievably attached. We could leave him on the farm, but we'd like to give him to you if you want him. So I go, he's deaf? Yes. I'm like, okay. So we called a few trainers that we knew and said, well, you could do it, especially. And they are. They were unbelievably. They still are attached. When we walk in the house, they'll be like an inch from each other. Because one guy knows he's got bad knees.
Yeah.
And he's kind of looks
at He's always had bad knees?
Yeah, he's had four knee operations, and I had to drive him to Cornell, to the veterinarian school, twice, and he had to go checkups. Do you believe this?
Wow.
Yeah.
Is he doing okay?
Not really.
Oh, no.
But we're trying. We made him a brace. We're getting him around.
Okay. That's good. Where are you going to be, and where can people find out about the book?
Just if you go to briankilmeade.com, I don't know if you see my website.
He's showing me his website. I actually talk about it when I do the weather.
That's so funny.
And then I'll say back to briankilmeade.com because I want to support you in every way that I can.
Sometimes.
All the time.
Right.
You know you're my favorite. I've said that.
Do you know they left my mic open today?
What happened?
So you said it's 36 degrees out?
Yeah.
And I said, holy crap. I go, I know, I said.
You could have said something else.
Right. I said, what the hell?
Oh.
Meaning, like, I cannot believe it's still 36 degrees.
Yeah, and then what happened?
How good is that?
Oh, it's fabulous. Brian is showing me briankilmeade.com, and it's really, I mean, unbelievable.
Right?
You don't just have your kids doing the program here. This is, like, professional.
I think so.
It's very professional. Look at you, and then you've got your upcoming tickets. What? So you're doing like a
live
like
show?
What?
So I do. I talk about everything.
Okay.
All the books that we mentioned. I'll make Booker T the feature.
Yes.
Everyone who goes gets a book.
Is it
signed?
And
the ticket price. Yeah.
Oh, it's signed.
Yeah, but if you go VIP, you get personal time with me.
Which, what?
Like, that's free for you. Like, this is all free for you.
Well, you told me I have to pay afterwards.
I give you an invoice, but you could just comp
Venmo.
It. You know what I'll do is I'll give you 20% off.
And so how long do they get to have, like, a meet and greet with you?
Half hour, 25 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, then before the show.
Beverages. Food.
That would have been a good idea.
It's
I should
not
have
too
done
late.
That. Yeah, I should have
it's
done
actually
that.
Not too late.
How much of the VIP? I don't want to lose money on the VIP.
Well, that's true.
But
what
I know,
about bring your own?
No, I would not enforce it. I'm not patting anyone down unless you're attractive.
No, we can't.
Because the attractive ones are always armed.
Now Dawn knows that he kids like
right.
this.
Right. Yeah. She knows it.
She does.
Right.
And she's amazing.
And by the way, can I say doesn't like it?
Doesn't like you patting them down?
Right. No.
But that's how you met her.
And that's true. 10th grade, was patting down women. A lot of people think I was too forward.
This is not true about
in
Brian,
five,
by the way.
I met her in 10th grade.
I know you did.
Right, that's true.
And it was sort of love at first sight.
She was dating somebody else at the
and
time.
And you took that as a challenge.
True.
Did you like the guy?
No. Oh, then I was, the next guy she was dating, I am friends with even today.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Does he live in the neighborhood?
Not anymore.
Okay. How does she feel about that?
We never talk about it.
Well, maybe she needs to come on the podcast.
She would have a good. You would be the one person that she would come on with.
Oh.
Because she would trust you.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I am just, now I'm so excited. Will you ask her if she'll come on the podcast?
No, will you? Are you going to Nashville?
Yeah, I'm going to Nashville.
So we're trying to see if she's going to go. But the problem is she's saying that I'm going to be working the whole time.
But she can hang out with me.
I didn't know that.
Because they don't have me as busy as you guys. Like, I'm just
I don't think we're that busy. I just think that I could do the radio show, and I got the Saturday show.
Does she like to go shopping?
Sure.
Okay. We could see some sights.
Well, you know she's got Wild Willows, which is a boutique.
What?
Yeah. She has her own clothing store.
No.
With Kathy, her partner.
How did I not know that?
And it's going to be live online, like, could be by the time this airs, but as well as
this
a walk-in shop.
This is a new thing?
Year old.
Well, of course I'm going to have her on the podcast so she can talk about this
you
and
should
build
do that.
Up a business.
Wild Willows. Just look it up.
Wild Willows. And how does she come up with that name? That's why I have to have her on the podcast. What else does she sell there?
Oh, it's women's clothing. It's all women's clothing and other, you know, other things that women like.
Hats?
You're a hat person? What are you asking?
You know
about?
I love
what
hats.
Is this, 1930? Wearing
come on.
Hats?
I'm bringing hats to Nashville.
Right.
Are you not wearing a cowboy hat? Did you not get the memo?
I thought we were wearing tuxes.
Are you wearing a tux?
They asked me if I want a tux.
Oh, really? And yes. Are you going to wear one?
Yeah. If they
really?
Make it. If they make it.
If they make you a tux?
Yeah. I mean, I'm in the rental business. I rent now.
Oh, you don't have one?
I had one, and I wore it, and Dawn's like, what are you doing? I go, I bought a tux a long time ago. She's
right.
Like, you bought that tux? Not anymore, because I don't wear it. It's so baggy.
It's old?
Yeah. She's like, it's
like
too baggy.
Like from the 90s. You could probably get alterations.
Right. Well, it's gone.
But men, don't buy a tuxedo because it's going to go out of style at some point.
Yeah, I had thought tuxes were tuxes.
No, they're not. No. Oh. Are you going to wear a bolo?
What's that?
It's like a Western tie.
No, I don't. I think Nashville's been totally acidified. I mean, it's a city. There's no cow.
I think they want us to kind of Nashville it up, though. Play it up. The Grand Ole Opry. Have you been there?
I'm going to review all the meetings we've had on this. I just did. No one said a word to me. Only thing, I asked Jen what we're going to be doing, and I think she says we are bringing on the last
yes.
winner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's all I heard.
Jennifer Hegseth, who is organizing this whole
would have been important for me to
shebang.
Say that,
yeah,
think,
that's absolutely right. It's going to be fun. We're going to be there. Are you going to be signing your book there?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't know where, because it's interesting because we're at a different hotel, unlike last time.
I know. It's, you know what we got to do?
Just look it up. I'll be somewhere signing.
BrianKilmeade.com.
Has everything.
Has all the details. You're the best. Thank you for being on the Dean's List. And thank you for being you.
And thank you for being you. Because without you being you, me being me,
right,
the world would be very different, especially from 6 a.m. to 9 Eastern.
Stay within yourself.
That's all we ask.
Thanks again to Brian for stopping by the Fox News audio studios to talk about his amazing new book out in stores now, Teddy and Booker T, How Two American Icons Blazed a Path for Racial Equality. It's the latest in a series of really wonderful and entertaining books about great American leaders and their tremendous accomplishments that helped shape our great country. If you would like to find out more about his books, he has many of them, and where you might be able to meet him in a city near you, visit briankilmeade.com and make sure to tune in every weekday to see Brian, Ainsley, Steve, Lawrence, Carly, and me on Fox and Friends. Thank you to all of my listeners. If you have someone you think should make the Dean's List, let me know at Janice Dean on Twitter or Janice Dean FNC on Instagram. Or you can rate this podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or at foxnewspodcast.com. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.